This is the Uptick Newswire Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews, public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world, with your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, we have a returning guest, and I tell you, you know, you hear about a lot about cryptocurrency, you hear a lot about marijuana companies, but let me tell you, Cobalt is where it's at. A lot of people don't know this, but the prices have went up to around $34, $36 a pound. Just literally 5 or 6 months ago, it was around $16 a pound. With us today is First Cobalt Corp. While they trade on the OTCQB, ticker symbol FTSSF, they also trade on the TSX Venture, ticker symbol FCC. And with us today is the CEO of that company. We're going to talk about Cobalt. It's Trent Mill. Trent, welcome back to the show.
Everett, thanks very much for having me.
You know, I hear about blockchain, I hear about marijuana, but you guys are the silent mineral that's creeping up. I mean, every time I turn around, cobalt prices are going up. What's happening on that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I used to talk about this being a Tesla story, and frankly, it's not. If you look at even Toyota's kind of gotten on late in their laggard. Every auto company on the planet's shifting their R&D and development budgets over to producing EVs, and not just one, but you know, multiple electric vehicles. And so, you know, you look at last year, 2016, we sold about 750,000 EVs worldwide. There's about 2 million on the road. We were up over 1 million last year, and that's only a 1% penetration rate around the world. And yet it's consuming 50% of lithium-ion batteries, so that includes your laptops and cell phones.
Yep.
But batteries are consuming 50% of global production. And so if you want to take a 1% penetration that rate and just go to 2%, which is still pretty modest, we need to increase our global supply by 20% every year. And so that just gives you just the early stages of what really is a revolution in mobility that's going to have a real meaningful impact on the amount of cobalt supplied and the work we have to do to get more to the ground.
You know, I saw in your latest press release about you guys raised $25 million private placement. Talk to us, what has, you know, been going on with your company since the last time you were on the show in November 27th?
Yeah, so this company's, by way of reminder, we only got going last March. I come from larger mining companies. I was at Barrick Gold and I worked at Sherritt and a bunch of other players. But you know, we believe that the world needs more cobalt. We believe there is a shortage, and it's probably going to be like that for a number of years. Having said that, miners have never gone out and looked for it, right? So we've put this company together. We got strong interests. We merged three companies together because we thought if we're going to be successful, you need scale. This, with scale brings, you know, a bigger shareholder base and better liquidity. And all of that basically translated into a strong demand for our share currency. And we were able to go and raise money at the end of the year. And what was nice, Everett, is we managed to transition this from a purely retail company 10 months ago to a pretty well-balanced stock now. We've got good retail, and you can see it in the volumes on the OTCQB. But about half of our stock now is held by big, sophisticated institutional funds. And they're the ones that can write the big checks. And with the money we raised last December, we're well-financed now for the next couple of years.
You know, some drilling results have come in, and I saw that you guys talked a little bit about it on the Woods Extension project. Could you bring my listeners maybe up to date of some of your results, and where do we go from here?
Sure. So we're mining, we're exploring up in Canada in the country's oldest mining camp. It was mined for silver 110 years ago. A lot of cobalt, and typically we'd avoid the cobalt. The veins networks that were mined as underground deposits were favored for their silver, and where they would transition into more cobalt-rich deposits, we call those the failed silver mines. And so the drilling that we've been doing has been trying to identify, 100 years is a long time, so trying to identify some data gaps and figure out where the cobalt is. So a lot of work goes into it, and ultimately it all culminates after you've done your data compilation and geophysics. Ultimately, you got to put a drill in the ground. And so we started drilling just one little area because we were still doing our merger and putting the land package together. So we drilled out about 1 or 2% of our land package. And yeah, we had some high-grade hits, 0.3 to 0.8% cobalt. So you know, the cobalt world, when you get to 0.4, 0.5, that's a pretty good grade. And I think with the modest program we did last year on one target, we're ready now to step out. In fact, we have stepped out onto 13 targets this year. We've doubled the size of our team. We've quadrupled our budget. And I think with the lessons we had last year, we're prepared to test not just, well, and last year it was two former mines. We'll test about 15 of them this year and try to see which ones have the best potential for for cobalt mineralization. And I should add, we've got a total of 50 past producing silver and cobalt mines now that we control. So lots of targets. My objective, though, is to really get there as quickly as we can.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. You know, I'm sure my listeners would like to know, after you guys, especially the drilling at the Bell Ellen mine, you guys are drilling there now. What is the game plan? Are we going to mine this ourselves? Are we going to farm it out? Are we going to let somebody else come in and buy it out? What is the game plan?
Yeah, I guess maybe if I sort of take a big picture approach, our strategy this year has three components to it. One is, you know, success with the drill bit. Go out and find that mineralization. The other is advancing our mineral processing strategy, and we've got some near-term cash flow with old stockpiles on surface. We've got a mill. We've got the only cobalt refinery in North America that's ready to go. And the third one is growth. I think we've got to keep growing our platform. So once we've done all of these things, what do you do? Well, typically, you know, much like biotech and IT and the tech world, mining companies, you're a feeder system for the bigger guys. And so my team, I was very careful to build a management team of operators. We've all worked around the world with big global companies. And so we know how to get from A to Z, and we could get to the finish line and build and operate a mine. But my board's got a couple of key members, Bob Cross, Paul Matysik, that are well known in the capital markets for just selling the company at the right time and making shareholders money. And then the asset or assets can go into a larger platform that has the capital required to see things through to production. And you know, 9.5 times out of 10, that's what happens. If you're wildly successful, which we hope we will be, then a bigger fish is going to come along and say, thanks, we've got it from here. And we're certainly ready to step aside if and when that happens.
First Cobalt Corp is the company that we're highlighting here today on Stock Day. They trade on the OTCQB, ticker symbol FTSSF. They also trade on the TSX Venture up in Canada, ticker symbol FCC. You know, rumor on campus is that you guys are starting discussions with various tech partners to look at the use of artificial intelligence to help you guys consolidate data and narrow the target pool. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, I mean, AI, I think, is crucial. The mining industry, we've often been accused of going slow when it comes to technology and innovation. And the reality is when you try to innovate on, say, a new mine construction, you're building a new mill for a couple of $100 million, you really want to stay with something that's tested and true, because when you enter into production, you don't want to have the hiccups. There's enough risk in this business that on the big ticket items, you know, we always want somebody else to take the chances. But when it comes to discovery and exploration, I think there's a lot we can and will do. And so for us to go out and try something for $100,000 or even $250,000, if we're successful and it results in a major discovery, then the implications are huge for a company with a $250 million market cap, $250 million Canadian. The returns are massive, and how could you not take it? Because you can always, you know, backtrack or try different approaches. So what we've done is we've got 100 years of data, and really it's been trying to take, you know, paper logs and drawings and mine plans and put them into 3D, put them in a digital format, and we've done that. But with 100 mines across the camp, 50 on our property, it's a lot of work, and so there's ongoing data compilation. But once you've done all of that, you've got a great model for a geologist and our structural geos to look at and to try to interpret what's going on with Mother Nature and where to target our efforts. But given that we're looking not just at one mine, but a district, AI can come in there and basically run predictive modeling algorithms effectively and tell you, look, based on what we're seeing, we think the fault structures or the controlling features of mineralization up here in the north are going in this direction. Maybe in the central part of the camp, you may want to drill in this underexplored area. And so that's the kind of conversation we're doing. IBM has done it. IBM Watson did it with one of the majors. There's actually some smaller, probably more nimble players out there that do the exact same thing. So the idea is we keep going with the data compilation. We got some geophysics. And then at some point, we got to overlay some AI to help us with the interpretation of the data. And that'll happen soon.
How about tell us about the infrastructure in the camp and how you guys might leverage that?
Yeah, so we've got a pretty big market cap. We came in, it was a $20 million, sorry, I'm talking in CAD now because we're up in Toronto.
Right.
$20 million market cap up to $250. You know, our market cap, our share price rather, has tripled through the merger. So that shows, I think, that we're on the right track. And part of that is we've got some real tangible assets up there. You know, we do have a mill that we got from one of the companies, Cobaltech. We do have, most significantly, a refinery. And that refinery has got about a $80 million U.S. replacement cost. And the refinery, is what it does is it takes your milled material and it can produce either a cobalt carbonate, or you can upgrade it to a cobalt sulfate, which is basically the battery grade material that you need to produce electric vehicles. And so that asset is the only one in North America that exists. And why it's unique, twofold. One is most of the battery material now for cobalt is being made out of China. So it gives you a North American platform on which to build out your auto industry. And the other is a unique feature of North American cobalt deposits is they got a high arsenic content. And that's just the way that Mother Nature made it. And the Chinese refiners and most of the refineries around the world can't accept that kind of material. Arsenic is a tricky element to deal with, and our refinery was built specifically to remove the arsenic in a safe manner, an effective manner. And so it's a proven flow sheet. It's got all the permits and a high capex. So that I see that as a real strategic asset. And when I talk about trying to grow the business, I think we can grow the business in North America with a view to trying to activate this refinery sooner than later.
You've been listening to Trent Mell. He's the president and CEO of First Cobalt Corp. They trade on the TSX, ticker symbol FCC. You know, I was going to ask you, I saw one of your press releases, you guys acquired some new properties. Do you plan on making any additional acquisitions in 2018?
So in our particular area where we are, we've locked up about half of a camp, which is pretty unusual. A junior, typically, the old adage is, if you want to find a mine, look in the shadow of the old mine. Sometimes you look in the old mine itself and you find the new mine underneath, as I did in a past life. You know, in our case, we've got, again, as I mentioned, 50 mines. And so we've got a lot of targets. And we've got half the camp. We don't need the other half of the camp right now. I think we've got to figure out what we have. And once we understand the structures and the controls, if we're successful with the land package we have and with our refinery, I think we can go ahead and continue buying land. I think to the extent we do look to grow, I know to the extent we're going to grow, it's going to be outside of the cobalt camp. So I think there are places in Canada and the U.S. And maybe in Europe, but we'll start closer to home where we can acquire or basically merge with other companies that have assets or properties that are as advanced or hopefully even more advanced than ours. We've got, again, a strong treasury, a good team, and a very strong share price. So I think carrying that out might be easier than not. And I think the market would be receptive to us continuing to grow as the biggest cobalt explorer in the world.
Trent, I want to thank you for coming on the show. In closing, is there anything that we didn't get a chance to touch upon that you maybe want to get out there to the listeners?
Well, it's interesting. Thank you, Everett. When you look at what's happened over the last few set trading sessions, over the last couple of weeks, really, the cobalt explorers are facing a fair bit of pressure. So we're all kind of trading on a downtrend, and yet the cobalt price continues to go up. And the geopolitical tensions in the DRC, the biggest cobalt producing market, continues to get worse, and their taxes there have gone up. So it's an interesting situation right now where the valuations, the juniors have felt pressures, and that's at odds with what you're seeing in the macro economy. So I'd say there might be an opportunity there in the short term to start looking at these cobalt plays as pretty good bias.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show. I wish you nothing but continued success. Hopefully you'll come back on the show in about 60 days and give us an update.
I would love to. Thanks so much, Eric.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by Uptick Newswire, LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are those of the guests and those of the respective companies they represent and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff or management of Uptick Newswire. Uptick Newswire encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them or to seek the assistance of an investment professional. The guests of this program may have paid for its distribution and are not directly affiliated with Uptick Newswire or the station.